flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
I've been working with a Nourish dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It is 2:06. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Thank you so much for hanging out this Saturday afternoon with me. I tell you, we are going into a new year. So many new opportunities, so many new projects. One of the things that I want to do is I want to make some new friends. I want to meet some new people. I had breakfast this morning. As you know, my family and I are in Houston visiting extended friends and family for the holidays. And I had breakfast this morning before the show with some folks that I have known since I was in my early 20s. And I love each and every one of them. And I said, I want to meet some new folks. I want to meet some new friends. And I'm so grateful that 2023 brought some new friends into my life. And one of them is Andre Creighton. He is the host of the Financially Fit podcast and the CFO of Turn Signal, one of the hottest apps in the country. And, just meeting Andre and learning from him and, with all of his financial knowledge and expertise and getting to know his bride and his new baby, it has just been a blessing to my life. Just, having his youthful and knowledgeable energy. I tell you, sometimes I'm around him and after that, I feel like I could just go another 10 or 15 miles because I'm like, he's just brought so much new and young energy into my old lady life. I love it. And so I was so grateful that he's joining us at a holiday weekend to come on the show to give us some of his brain matter because I saw a story in the Washington Post that said banks are facing tougher capital requirements. And those new rules are going to increase even the racial home ownership gap that is already wide enough in this country. And so, Andre, I'm so glad you're joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Welcome to the Shaletta Show. You are no stranger. You have been here before, but this is a new topic that we'll be discussing. And I want you to talk to me about this home ownership gap.
Yeah. First of all, thank you, Shaletta, for having me, on the show. And, this is a particular topic that I'm really excited to discuss. I share those same sentiments that you had said about me. You've definitely been a favorable person in my life as well. And I look forward to the opportunity here to discuss. So, as Shaletta said, Washington Post came out about 3 weeks ago with a really, really interesting article that discussed how the racial ownership gap, home ownership gap, is widening, and new rules are making it worse, right? And really, what they're getting down to is Basel III endgame proposal. So, what Basel does is there's Basel I, II, and III, and Basel I focuses on credit risk. Basel II focuses on the operational, strategic, and those risks, and then Basel III is really focusing on that liquidity risk. And that's what we really want to talk about today. So with banks, they are facing a lot of requirements and things that are starting to put a little bit of strain on their liquidity. And now with Basel III endgame proposal, you know, banks might be required to have 20% more capital that they have to keep on hand, which, mm-hmm. you know, is going to result in increased borrowing costs for lower and middle class Americans. And, you know, when you think about holistically who that affects, right, you think about lower middle class Americans, you think about those that are first time home buyers, you think about small business owners and farmers, right, the people that truly are relying on debt and credit to be able to purchase equipment for their businesses, the people that are required that don't have a lot of cash on hand, so they're mm-hmm. they're hoping to, you know, leverage debt to be able to buy their first home. You know, those are the people that are truly going to be affected by this. You know,
and this is the thing. You know, we already have so many things stacked against us. This home ownership gap is wide. When we start thinking about rules, Andre, we start thinking about things that are going to help alleviate those barriers. But these rules seem to be increasing the barriers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, there are some things out there that, you know, can help alleviate that. You know, there's non-traditional bank lending. So it's what they call the shadow banks, right? You know, shadow banks are those that are not necessarily backed by deposits. So you can think of, you know, some places like Quicken Loans, places like that, that maybe not, you know, it's not a traditional bank and people aren't depositing funds into that company or organization, right? But, you know, and that's a good opportunity for people that, you know, might not be able to get lending through a bank, but, you know, that comes with the cost too, right? You're going to see higher interest rates. You know, and also, you know, it's really a temporary fix. You know, I think about the shadow banks, you know, they really count on selling a portion of those loans to, you know, your Fannie Mae and your Freddie Mac, which are government backed grants, right? And if they, when you think about government backed, you know, they also have to manage their risk, right? So they're only going to take on a certain amount of loans that are risky that they buy. So, you know, when you think about how many, you know, lower and middle class Americans that can't afford mortgages, it's just not sustainable.
And it just is so frustrating because you see families. I was just talking to my mom and dad the other day while I'm here in Houston because we grew up in the projects. Nobody before my parents had ever owned a home. Everybody that I knew was in a rental property or in the projects. And my mother and father worked second jobs, saved up enough money, and got the first home of anybody in my family. And so then after that, other relatives saw their example and they were able to mm-hmm. buy homes. And so now my mother and father have paid off their house. And, you know, somebody sold a house on the block for like $900,000. They paid $45,000 for this house. And I'm thinking wow. The generational wealth that is going to be transferred to me and my siblings, you know, once they decide to leave that house or sell it, you know, it is just, you know, I think of, you know, what if they couldn't? What if these barriers had been up? You know, we would have never got out the projects. They would never have this property that they were able to take out a second mortgage to put us all through school. And, you know, and those type of things that are done for, you know, to benefit the entire family. That's not going to take place if we have these new rules in place. It's going to make it worse.
100%. And then that's just it. You know, you hit the nail on the coffin, right? It's that lack of generational wealth, right? We know that a lot of minorities and lower middle class Americans are, you know, generations behind the wealth gap, right? And we know that that puts a lot of strain, especially when you think about this new proposal and banks pulling back lending from riskier, you know, riskier individuals that are trying to get home ownership. If you don't have the cash on hand, you know, it's going to be really hard. And you think about, mm-hmm. you know, the generational wealth that you talked about, you know, buying a home is kind of that first ticket to being able to build that generational wealth and have liquidity to build cash. And if you can't do that, it's tough. You know, when you think about our U.S. economy right now, you know, there's much uncertainty, you know, inflation's increasing, groceries, gas prices, rent, et cetera, you know, those everyday items that individuals need are extremely high in comparison to where they have been historically. which is, reducing the ability to get credit. And then you think about also the fact that now student loans are back, paying those are restarting, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think about student loans, and it's kind of a chicken and the egg, right? They say go to college, right, and get a degree. It's going to be able to create more wealth, right? But then what you're not thinking about is, what if you can't get a job in that field and you're not able to make enough money to be able to pay that debt back, right? You don't have the residual money to build that cash reserve to be able to have that ability to purchase a home, right? So you have to depend on debt, right? So it's really a chicken and the egg, and I can only see this increasing with this Basel III endgame proposal.
What do you recommend to people out there who are listening, who are saying, you know what, every time I take one step forward, they push me two steps back. I'm right where I need to be, and there's some new rules that may hurt home buyers from communities of color, cash-strapped folks who just want that piece of American dream, who have been doing all the things right, and now here comes some new rules that will make it harder for them to own a home.
Absolutely. And I think it depends, across various age groups and where you are in your state of life, right? But when you think about individuals that are just coming out of college, if you can stay with your parents for a couple of years, right, as hard as that may be when you've been so independent for 4 years or however long, right, that may be tough. But if you can stay with your parents for a couple of years and just build that cash reserve, that's going to put you ahead. If you can go and find maybe 3-4 friends that you trust, and you guys can go in and buy a duplex together and rent maybe the other side of it out, right, and start to build in that way. Those are ways that young Americans can really start to build that cash reserve and build that net worth and hopefully close the wealth divide. If you're an individual that, you're past that, right, and you're married or you're single and you have kids and you're just making it, right? Any little bit that you can put aside, right? Really trying to pay down your debt as much as possible. That's going to be important, right? Because, mm-hmm. there was a study that said before, the Feds hiked interest rates, 2.4 million Black Americans were deemed mortgage ready based on their credit history and income, according to research by Freddie Mac. Now we fast forward, after interest rates have been hiked, and now that stands at less than 1 million, according to the National Fair Housing Alliance, which did a follow-up analysis. So when you think about how that has declined tremendously over the past couple of years, and Black home loan applicants in the 50 largest metropolitan markets are 1.6 times more likely to be denied a home loan. It just puts a lot of strain on really achieving that American dream. So, the things you can do is try to pay down debt as much as you can, whatever you can. Maybe you need to pick up another job if you can, right? To create some secondary income, right? To be able to build your residual. So those are the things that I recommend in this moment. But, we do have some trying times coming here from an economical standpoint.
Now, there are folks who are texting me in real time. They are sending me emails. They're like, who is this guy? I like what he's talking about. You mentioned that he has a podcast. Please tell these people, because they think that I'm not like really on the show. So they are actually texting me, expecting me to respond and email them. And I'm trying to talk to you. So you have to let folks know where they can find you, because they want to get information about your podcast. Because this is the thing that I love about the work that you do, and I call it work, but it's fun for you when you talk numbers and you talk money and you talk finances. You break it down and explain it so that people like me, who it's not our profession, we can understand it. And so tell us about the podcast and where we can find it, and give us all the details.
Yeah, absolutely. So the podcast is called Financially Fit. My name is Andre Creighton, as Shaletta said. And, really the base of the podcast is everything is from, my opinion, things that I've faced throughout my life growing now from, a college grad, an MBA to now being a CFO of a company. And, I haven't always done things right by my money. And the reason for the name of Financially Fit is because you can think of it much like an individual who's going to work out, right? You have that goal, and January 1st, there's going to be a lot of people at the gym saying, hey, I'm trying to get fit in 2024, right? And, you know, a lot of people expect that to happen quickly, right? And what I always say is it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? You aren't going to get those abs overnight. You aren't going to get those biceps overnight, right? The same is true with your financial journey. You aren't going to become a millionaire overnight. You aren't going to become extremely financial stable and have that net worth that you may be dreaming of overnight. It truly takes doing the same things over and over and over, the right things, and being maniacal towards your goals. And if you can do that, you will be successful and you will be on your way to being financially fit. So I encourage you to join, you know, and listen to the podcast. You can find it on Amazon, Spotify, you know, pretty much most of the podcasts. Platforms you can find the podcast. So, you know, I help you every week step through a lot of different things. We just talked about budgeting. So if you haven't done that for 2024, if you haven't thought about your budget, that's what you should be thinking about with a couple of days left before 2024 begins.
I tell you what, you keep me honest because I had not done a budget in I don't know how long. And when you did that podcast on budget, I had to call all the kids in. I'm like, okay, we need to look at where we're going on vacation, how much we plan on spending. This is not an endless faucet. There's not money growing on that tree outside. We have to set some goals and make sure we achieve those goals so that, you know, if the country shuts down again, you know, if we have another pandemic, we can have that cash reserve, that cash on hand in case all hell breaks loose. So I just want to thank you for what you've done to help my family get our finances in order. And just by listening to the podcast, you're helping so many other people as well. Thank you so much for being on the show and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well, Shaletta. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. And thank you all for sticking around. We've got more to come on the Shaletta Show. The Brundage bus is going to New York City. Yes, going to New York City. I don't know how big those streets are in New York City, but I hope they widen them because we're about to drive that RV, the RV that we have from Camping World, right up on Broadway. I was just blown away. Got so many calls from folks telling me there's a new Broadway musical in New York, and it's cast with autistic actors and actresses and singers and performers. And I was like, what? And so I did my research, and How to Dance in Ohio is making its Broadway debut. And it is a musical, and it stars 7 autistic actors and actresses. And in the first minutes of the production, these autistic actors walk out as themselves, and they tell the audience what they're about to see. And the first thing they say is, if you've met one autistic person, you've met one autistic person. And they go on to explain to the audience that this production is not just by autistic actors, but about autistic people. And I need to get my autistic children to New York City to see How to Dance in Ohio. And I want to encourage families who have kiddos on the spectrum and adults on the spectrum who listen to the show, who follow me on social media. Find out about How to Dance in Ohio, the musical in New York. You know, and as we are taking our children on vacation this summer, or we're going somewhere fun for spring break, consider going to this musical to see these autistic adults, the actors and the actresses who are performing. I know that it will inspire our kids. You can't be what you can't see. And so many children who have autism are so creative. They are great artists. They are great singers. They are great dancers. They are great actors. But they may not believe that this is something that they can do for the rest of their lives. They may have Broadway aspirations, but not believe that this is something that they can do until they see autistic actors and actresses on stage, on Broadway, in New York City, in a theater, proclaiming that they have autism. And then for the next couple of hours, performing at the top of their craft, I want my daughter Cameron to see that. She was in her first little play, and she did not have a speaking role, but just being on that stage was a milestone for her. Her autism presented in a way that she was very shy and reserved and was always afraid to be around anybody who was not family. And so we would tell people when she was 2 and 3 years old, listen, don't look at her. Because if you look at her, she's going to cry. And people would say, wait, she just cries if you look at her? Yes, she will cry if you look at her. Because that is the way her autism presents. And so she had a hard time learning. She had a hard time engaging with her friends. She had a hard time understanding simple commands because it was difficult for her to even look at people. And it was even harder when people looked at her. And so to have her up on that stage at that little theater production at her school, at Gray Cloud Elementary School, all the other parents were clapping. I was clapping and crying. And, you know, she was the only child with autism in the performance. And so having this play on Broadway and being able to take my kids there will let her see that she's not the only person with autism who is an actor, who is a singer, who is a performer. And if she can see it, then maybe, just maybe she can also be it, whatever it is. Right. And so we've got to expose our kids, whether they have special needs or not, with an opportunity to see something new and experience something different so that, you know, if their gifting is in sports, get them to a baseball game. If their gifting is in theater, get them to a production. If their gifting is in music, get them to a concert. You know, I'm so intentional about trying to figure out what my children's gifts are and make sure that they get the exposure that they need to that thing, even with their autism. And, you know, so oftentimes when there is a movie or a production and they have characters who have autism in the production, in the play, in the TV show, in the soap opera, that child is not really autistic. It's an actor playing an autistic child. I remember there was a soap opera who had an autistic character, and I was so excited, right? My mother watches those soap operas religiously, and she was so excited to tell me that the character had autism. And so I went and researched the character because I just knew, right, that it was a child with autism who was playing the character, but it was not. So to have autistic actors and actresses in this Broadway production in New York called How to Dance in Ohio, it really is going to resonate with my children in a way that having someone who does not have autism play that particular character. And not saying that they can't do it, that it's not allowed. It just means something different for my daughter to see someone with autism on stage on Broadway in a production. And she can say, you know, if they can do it, me too. I promise you all, I can't wait. I can't wait for spring break. I can't wait to get the tickets. I can't wait to take my daughter to see someone who has an autism diagnosis just like her, doing the thing that she wants to do, that she's never seen anybody like her doing. I can't wait. And I can't wait to come back. We've got more of the Shaletta Show coming up. Okay, listen, let me tell y'all something. It has been nice and warm in Minnesota.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, warmer than it's been in a while in December. You know, I'm talking to all my meteorological friends and they're talking about the brown Christmas and how it's good for the drought. We've had record high temperatures to hit Minnesota in the month of December. And, you know, they're poor ice conditions. Poor. They say poor. Like, it's not so good. So listen, I know for generations, your family has done your ice fishing the week between Christmas and New Year's. That's something that has been a part of your family's legacy and history and something you enjoy and look forward to doing. But listen, global warming is real. And it is. It's nice and warm outside. Tuesday, we got a high of 35 degrees coming. And, you know, we've got this low of 20-something degrees, and it may be 20-something degrees for a couple hours, and then it goes all the way up to above freezing. So it's really not smart to drive your truck out on a lake. I remember when I first got to Minnesota back in 2004, and I was working at KSTP. Yes, I'm a Hubbard alumnus. I'm a Hubbard High alumnus. And we had a guy who drove his truck out on Lake Minnetonka, and the truck went in and he came out. And I remember the photographer went out there to chat with him, and he was sitting on the side of the lake, and he was wet and he was cold. And they were like, did you want to talk about what happened? And he was like, no. And they were like, well, was that your truck? And he was like, no. And I'm like, dude, it was your truck. There's nobody else out here wet with no ride. It was you. It's okay. You can say it was you. And I just remember thinking, now the DNR has said it's warm. There are poor ice conditions statewide. So why would you then? This is the DNR. They're doing surveys. They've got staff. They're checking how many inches are out there on the lake and whether it can sustain your Ford F-150 and your ice house and you and your friends on the lake. And they saying, no. Wait, don't drive out there. Don't push the, just wait. The fish will be there, I promise. And And, you know, we laugh and joke about this and, you know, how people are driving out on the lakes and it's not safe. But you could die out there. You could die out there if there's nobody but you and nobody to rescue you. And I just, you know, I'm going to be so embarrassed, you know, 2 or 3 centuries from now, when all the water is out of the lakes and they find, you know, 35 trucks at the bottom of, you know, parts of Lake Minnetonka. I'm just going to be so ashamed that, you know, 200-300 years from now, they're going to be like, was this a used car lot? Why is it 17 trucks just at the bottom of this lake? That's because we don't listen to the DNR. We don't believe in global warming, even though we don't have a flake of snow on the ground because it's all melted. And they're saying that this is, you know, possibly the warmest December on record. And still we're going to drive the, please stop, please. I don't want to hear any more stories of anglers being rescued after falling through the ice, in Upper Red Lake. I'm talking to you. And if you're not the angler and you're the angler's friend, say something to him. Save an angler. We need a new DNR campaign. I'm going to call the DNR people. Save the angler. If you're an angler's friend, talk to him. Don't let him go out there. Say, hey, Bob, listen. There's no ice on that lake. There's one chunk of ice out there. You're finna drive a Ford F-150 on one chunk of ice. There's water all around this ice. Bob, don't do it. Bob, you know what? Let's go to the bar, My Treat. The DNR should give out grants to anglers' friends. Any anglers out there who are diehard ice fishers, their friends ought to get some kind of stipend to keep them from going out there on this shaky ice. So they could take them to a bar, take them to the mall, take them somewhere other than out on that ice. Because it is not safe. It is not safe. I'm going to have to call the governor. Anglers Friends Grants. You know, you get a $500 stipend and you get to use that money however you wish to keep your angler friend off of the ice. Because I don't want to do one more story. I don't want to hear any more, read anything else about anglers falling through the ice. And speaking of falling, we had a lot of people to pass away in 2023. So many legendary singers and actors and entertainers. Gary Hines' brother, the famous tap dancer, his brother passed away. They were just talking about that today on social media. You know, we lost Tina Turner. We lost so many amazing entertainers this year, right? But one person who didn't die was Frank Thomas. Yeah, Frank Thomas, the baseball player. He did not die. He's very much alive. But somehow, Fox News mistakenly reported that he had passed away. Gave him a RIP, gave him a tribute in memoriam, and the famous people, athletes and entertainers who died in 2023, they gave Frank all kind of love. They sure did. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And Frank is very much alive and kicking. And call that absolutely irresponsible. I don't blame Frank. I would be mad if I was sitting up watching TV and all of a sudden they had my picture come up and I'm thinking, oh, somebody's honoring me and it's in memoriam. I cannot just even imagine. I would think that I was having one of those out of body experiences. Like, maybe am I dead? It was like that Bruce Willis movie with the little boy where he was dead the whole time and didn't know it. And he was walking around talking to people and nobody was really listening. Nobody could really see him. And he thought his wife was ignoring him. Yeah, that movie. I would think that I was having one of those moments. That actually probably was really scary for Frank Thomas. I just imagine that he is sitting up at his house, minding his own business, watching Fox News. They're doing an in memoriam and his picture pops up. I would have to pinch myself and call 2 or 3 people to make sure that I am not actually dearly departed. I just bet that was a whole hot mess. But thankfully, Frank took it all in stride. He is still here. He is not dearly departed. And I don't know if Fox News has issued an apology, but if they did not, they definitely owe Frank Thomas an apology for mistakenly claiming that he died. Yeah, that's a big one right there. That's a big one. That's not fake news right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's real news. That's real news. When you get on a national major network and say that a man died and he's sitting up there watching the show and still alive, that's not, you're not able to classify that one as fake news. Okay. Hey, y'all don't go anywhere because I'm going to talk to Matthew. Okay. So, you know, he's really not Matthew to me. He's actually my girl Sloan's husband. So he thinks I'm going to be talking to him about Viking stuff, but I'm really just catching up on what my girl Sloane is doing. We'll talk to Maddie next. I tell you what, I remember feeling so good one day. I was at my house, minding my own business, watching the Big Three basketball tournament on CBS. It's Ice Cube's basketball league. And it takes, you know, retired basketball players who still got a little basketball left in them, but can't really hang with the young guys in the NBA. Some of your favorite players that you remember watching back in the day. And they compete, and there's a tournament, and there's trophies, and they get paid, and they're selling out stadiums all over the country. It's almost like a traveling league where they go to different parts of the country. And I remember like listening to the game and doing laundry and hanging out on the sofa, and I was like, man, the voice on this announcer sounds so familiar. I just feel like I'd heard this voice before. I don't know. And then all of a sudden they came back from commercial break, and there's my girl Sloane. And I'm like, oh my God, if anybody wants to talk to me right now, I can't move. I can't leave my house. I hope my kids are okay, because I have to sit here for the entirety of this game to listen to my girl Sloane do the play-by-play announcing. And I was just so overjoyed. And so I was texting her and tagging her on social media as if she wasn't working. Mm-hmm. While she was trying to do her job, I was trying to shout her out and calling everybody and telling them, y'all got to put it on CBS because Sloane's on TV. She's calling the games. And she did such an amazing job. And I was so proud of my sister. So I just, you know, Matt, I know you're on the show. We're supposed to be talking about Viking stuff, but I just have to love on my girl for a minute.
Well, and you know, she just got done today calling Ohio State and Michigan women's basketball on Fox. So she was on the main Fox channel, and now she's flying to Nebraska to call something. Definitely the more talented person in the relationship. But it's really funny you mention that, because we watched Boys in the Hood not too long ago, and I was like, can you believe this man is your boss? Like, for those Big Three games, like, you actually get paychecks from Ice Cube, which is kind of crazy, and he'll perform at halftime. So she's just there calling the basketball game, and then literal Ice Cube, who would sell out the arena normally, just comes out and does a couple songs, and then they go back to playing basketball. It's kind of wild.
It's a concert and a basketball game breaks out. It is amazing. How is she enjoying this journey? Because, you know, the Sloane and I worked weekend nights together. Mm-hmm. She was in the newsroom. I was working 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. And so we spent a lot of time together talking about things that we wanted to do, talking about our dreams and our goals and, you know, some of the things that we wanted to achieve in our lives. And, you know, that was one thing she said to me. I want to travel. I want to call games just like the guys. I don't want to be limited to just women's sports. I want to do it for all sports. But, you know I have to start somewhere. So to be able to realize her dream, you know, what's that like for her?
It's been amazing, because we met when she was in college and she was playing on the women's basketball team, and then she would call the men's game after. So she would still be like sweating from the game and then sitting and doing it. So as long as we have known each other, she has had one goal in life, and that is to be a play-by-play broadcaster. And to make it to be a national TV broadcaster, to be on Fox, to be on Big Ten Network, she's done CBS Sports and all that stuff. I mean, that is really, truly a dream come true. It's also a lot of work. And sometimes I try to tell her, like, you know, it's okay if you take a play off, if you don't, like, you know, spend your entire day preparing for these games. And it's always like, No, absolutely not. Like, it took way too long to get here. I mean, she was doing the high school games here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, she's done the whole grind for such a long time that it is amazing to see. But also, I kind of don't know where she is sometimes. I'm like, wait, is it Michigan? Is it Penn State or whatever? Because she's always traveling around doing these games.
And, you know, I just love to see it. And she's such an inspiration to, you know, the next generation of female broadcasters. You know, I'm doing some professor work over at the University of Minnesota. And so I've got a lot of young ladies. And, you know, we were in a classroom one time and we were doing this intro to podcasting. And so we were coming up with titles and podcast ideas and show ideas. And, you know, the guys, God bless you, they had some of the craziest, dumbest ideas I've ever heard. Right. But they stepped out in confidence. They were like, yeah, so I've got this great idea for a show. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, dude, that is some dumb stuff. This is not my full time job. So I could tell you when you have a dumb idea. That's a dumb idea. And meanwhile, Matt, the young ladies in the class would be like, well, I have this idea and I don't know, what you think about this.
Yep.
And it's the best idea ever. And so, you know, Sloan has always been so confident and she steps out there and she does a thing and she's sitting elbow to elbow with NBA legends and WNBA legends and college legends calling games and she's holding her own and there's so much confidence. And I'm telling these young ladies, you know, in my class at the University of Minnesota, I'm like, listen, more Sloan, please. More Sloan Martin, because y'all to step out in confidence. Nobody's going to believe in your ideas if you don't. And that's the one thing that I will always remember about Sloan and those long talks that we used to have on Saturday and Sunday nights when she was in the newsroom and I was producing.
But she had the confidence. Yeah, you make such a great point because she only had a couple of play-by-play broadcasters that were women for her to even look up to, like Pam Ward and Beth Mowins, but that's kind of it. You're seeing so many more women get into these positions and not just forced onto the sideline. And that was always a really big thing for her. She's like, I am a play-by-play broadcaster. I'm not taking jobs where I do the sideline just to have a job. I know what I want and I'm going to go get it. And that is a hard thing when you don't have a lot of role models. So I think she doesn't realize that she is that for a lot of people, like, cause she's so focused on her job, but there are so many people who watch her on TV and see that they can be doing that too.
Well, you let her know. I tell my kids at the University of Minnesota, when I know she's on and I have her schedule, I'm like, okay, this is what you need to be watching. I'm not saying that you have to go do play-by-play announcing, but I need you to see the confidence that she has. I need you to see the poise. I need you to see how sure she is of herself and her information. So that means that she's done her homework. She's fact-checked. She knows what she's talking about, and she stands on that. So she's not out there, you know, cowering to the NBA legend who's sitting next to her. She's elbow to elbow, knee to knee with this dude, and they're enjoying each other. They're bantering back and forth. And that's the kind of confidence that I want the young ladies in my class to have.
Well, I think it's very clear that I deserve most of the credit for this. I did just text her to let her know that that you miss her and that you're proud of her. But no, it's been, you know what? It's been great. Like, I have a joke with a couple other friends, like the successful wife guy club, you know, where just a few of us have like very successful professional wives. And it means a lot to me every time, like, I get to see her on TV just because I know how much she went through to get there. So it's great.
Yeah, and the grind is real. You know, everybody sees the glam. They don't see the grind. And like you said, starting off calling the high school games, taking, you know, less money than she was worth, doing it for free sometimes, not being taken seriously, but still showing up and being authentically who she is in those spaces anyway. And so, you know, people see the glam. They see her now on CBS. But what I'm trying to explain to these young kids is that, you know, there was a real grind that went into that, and she's built on that, and that's how she's able to stay in these spaces and be respected.
Well, and I know that she always connected with you so well because you and her both have big personalities and a lot of confidence. I don't think, Shalette, I've ever thought that you were short on confidence.
No, sir. And that's the thing is that, you know, she's got big dreams, I got big dreams, and we were able to encourage each other. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, and nobody said, girl, we are working overnight weekends. We the low girls on the totem pole. What are we doing in here talking about these big dreams? You want to do what? Girl, look, go back in the newsroom and write some copy. Okay, they don't even let you host a morning show. What are you, girl, if you don't get out of here? You know, she never said, you're not even a host. You don't even have your own show. What are you talking about? So the way she encouraged me, the way I was able to encourage her, and now look at us. And this is why it's so important for women to encourage each other, because that's how we get to our next level. Okay, we were supposed to be talking about some Viking stuff. We were supposed to be talking about Joe Mauer maybe making it into the Hall of Fame. But I had to spend all that time shouting out my girl, Sloan Martin, because we miss her so much at the Good Neighbor Station. But you're coming up next, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll be talking sports. Yep. But it's, you know, you can talk about my wife all day. I like her a lot.
I would guess so, because you ain't going nowhere and her either. Well, you have a happy new year. And don't go anywhere, guys. He is coming up next with all information on sports. He's got your Vikings. He's got your Joe Mauer. He's got you here on the Good Neighbor Station. News Talk 830 WCCO.